See, 8 years before I went to Rhema, I was an evangelist. I didn't stand in the office of evangelist, but I did evangelism. I evangelized. I went all over Oregon and sometimes came here to Washington. But we had quite a struggle at first, didn't we, Sue? The ministry was not possible for me to make a living off of it when I was doing evangelism. But I went ahead then and finally got a full-time job and found out that that's where my faith begins, is providing for my family. And so I still continue to do evangelistic work on the weekends. Now, I didn't understand church government or church structure or anything like that. I was more or less a very independent minister. That's why my office in the work of an evangelist was honored by the anointing and by the boldness of the word. But really, I wasn't complete in my understanding of the kingdom of God, because I looked at churches as has-beens, and that God was not going to move in churches. He was going to move outside of churches, which is, to me, I know now that that's craziness. It's crazy. But at that time, me and Dave were very careful at respecting churches and the people that were going to them. And so we conducted our services more by example of the power of God, because many of these people were in churches where the ministers themselves were not receiving the word of God. And God told me to always keep my heart right with pastors and ministers, because the word of God was opening up more and more in our understanding. Well, then God called me to Rhema, and I didn't want to let go of that evangelistic work. And God, I'm going to tell you something. You know, there's the perfect will of God for your life. There is the permissive will of God for your life. Then there is where you're actually in rebellion to the will of God in your life. And I hadn't realized, I made a statement to the Lord and got into rebellion with Him. And He said, as long as you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But when you're in rebellion, He says, then I cannot support what you're doing that my hand is not on. And I said, well, what is your hand not on? And He says, my hand is not on you to continue to do what you're doing. I want you to go to Rhema. And my attitude, Sue will tell you, my attitude is, I didn't need to go to Rhema. I need to go to Rhema to teach. And so I was in rebellion to that. And of course, I was doing the work of the ministry, and I was being blessed by it, and I was very busy with the kingdom of God. And I finally got to the point where I could actually quit my job and just continue to do evangelistic work all over Oregon. I would have been fine, because I was making buku bucks when I was when my ministry finally kicked off. It took a little over 2.5-3 years, and finally the places I'd go finally started filling up. And Dave made the decision to go on into the evangelistic realm, and then I would come in as a teacher. Well, many times people come up and say, I don't see you as an evangelist, I see you as your teacher, you know. You teach, you're a teacher, you know. And I just laugh, and I just looked at myself as evangelizing. And so the places that Dave would go, Dave would fill the building up, and then I'd come in afterwards as a teacher, and nobody'd hardly show up. But eventually what had happened is I began to pack the places out as well. And we saw to it that these people were well-trained and well-educated, and we send them back into the church in a positive way. We made a decision that we were not going to discourage any other masters over these people, but to literally turn these people as an advantage or as an opportunity to bless their churches that they attend. Are you following what I'm saying? And boy, the anointing was really on us because we made that decision. We didn't want to, because the Bible says, be careful of another man's master, how you deal with them. And so I knew that was in the Word of God. And so me and Dave, we began to see the opportunity of actually training these people. These people went back to churches, and the pastors started visiting us because we had such a good testimony. Well, anyway, in the process of time, I decided to get 2 training centers going. And the Lord began to deal with me not to do that. And I went ahead and got these training centers going, 2 of them. And I filled the building up. I packed the place out. And so you know what happened? I decided to start a church. Well, the Lord told me to stay away from church, starting a church. He said, I don't want you churching anybody. And the minute I made the announcement that I was going to start a church, there wasn't one soul that came to my training center after that. Not one. And I couldn't figure out why. And so I went to God and I said, God, I feel that you're telling me to start a church. And finally, God one day spoke to me and says, I'm not having you start no church. That's just your own figment of your own imagination. And I says, well, God, I'm so blessed. I got all these people coming out. He says, yeah, as long as you stayed away from starting a church. He said, well, when you said church, he said, I've been trying to get you to go to Rhema. And I says, well, I, and so that we had this Grange Hall, and we saw the blessing of God on this Grange Hall that we were working with. And one of the teachers that I had there, if I didn't keep her corral, she had a gossipy mouth, and she would feed negative things to people. And so I had to stay kind of watchful on her. And as a result of it, one day, I was looking out this window of this Grange Hall, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and God says, how come you haven't registered for Rhema? And I said, God, I'll do it, you know. But Lord, is this really you? You know how you always doubt? And God says, have you made a decision you're going to stick with the Grange Hall? And I didn't really was fully convinced. I thought it was the devil trying to get me off my course. You know what I mean? And so I said, no, I'm going to stick with the Grange, you know, and what I'm headed to do. And guess what? When God moves his hand from something, it will fall. And did you know by the next weekend, I had no one left. This woman, it was like there was no more restraints on her, and literally took and put gossip through that place like a whirlwind, and no one came back. I literally had nothing. And so I went to the Lord and I said, what? And I got to deal with this woman. Do you know what she said? And the Lord says, stop. He says, I took my hand off. I didn't send the gossiper. I took my hand off that restrained her. You made a decision. You're going to do what you want to do. And I made a decision that you're going to obey me. And I says, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, you get into Rhema. And so the story is, matter of fact, during one of my sessions, I had a man come in and speak to me, give me a prophetic utterance, and I thought the man was wacko. And he said, you're going to go through the desert for 5 years because you're disobedient. And I had him drug out. Did you know after I graduated from Rhema, ended up going to CFC, I counted the time that I was in Tulsa and went to school to the time up until the Lord released me for ministry. It was 5 years. I went into shock. And you know what? You know the thing that robbed me of ministry? Trying to do ministry rather than seek Him. Are you following me? I was trying to work ministry rather than seeking Him. And did you know how I qualified for even pastoring? Because I went through some hard times when I was at CFC. I went through some hard times. You want to know why? Because I wasn't ministering. Why? God, you're putting me into a little red-headed kid that don't know nothing. And here I am, a Rhema graduate, evangelizing. I have all this word. I'm so smart. And so I just don't think this is the will of God. And God says, really? And finally, one day, I didn't think it was God until after I made the decision to go back to Oregon and set up meetings. Go where you're successful. So I went and set up a meeting, my first meeting. Can't remember if it was in Eugene or... No, it was in Portland. It was a meeting there somewhere in Oregon. It's been so long, I can't remember. No one showed up. Matter of fact, I set the meeting up where I had good success. No one showed up. Oh, one person, I think, showed up. And so I was frustrated. I went back and I said, God... And he says, listen... He says, I'm not telling you to go and do what you used to do. He says, I have another calling on your life than what you used to do. And I didn't know what that calling was. And so the more I tried to do the work of my own ministry, the more frustrated I got. And finally, I decided I'm going to seek God with everything that's within me. Something ain't right here. Every time I turn around, this church wants me to do this, and this church wants me to do that, and this church wants me to go over here, and this church wants me to go over there. And God, this is not my calling. I'm not interested in what this church is doing. I'm interested in the ministry that you have given me. And God says, well, what ministry is that? Well, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to prepare me for my next step in my life. And it was at my fingertips and I didn't recognize it. Why? Because I was looking to exalt myself. I was looking to promote myself rather than the kingdom of God. And I didn't know that he that's the greatest servant among you is servant of all. And I'll never forget Mark Ball come to me and says, Jan, he says, I hate to just see you just coming to church and then doing these small things. Have you ever thought of getting into the children's department? No. I'm not to call the children. And Mark said to me, he says, you don't have to be called the children. The need's there. That's a calling enough. And that's right. He did tell me that. Mark told me that. And so then Casey come to me and asked me if I would be considering teaching in one of his Bible schools. And I said, oh, yes, that's my forte. Yes, I want to teach. And so Casey never approached me and never approached me again. And I couldn't figure out why. And finally, in a conversation with one of the staff, Casey wasn't selecting me to even teach because I wasn't trustworthy to receive any form of respect in the body. That hurt me. Matter of fact, it made me so mad, I was even against Casey for dare him, that little red-headed. You know? Because I didn't look at him like I should have. And so I was upset, and I got to the point where I couldn't even stand his sermons because he was always picking on me. Even told Sue one day, I said, we're leaving the church. And she says, why? Well, he just doesn't receive people as they really are. Well, like for what? He's always talking about weight. Fat stomachs. And my wife looked at me, oh. You know, when you have a good wife, she keeps you in truth. And so what? I didn't leave. And one day, Mark came to me and said, I need you in the children's department. And I went in prayer and I said, Lord, nothing's breaking loose. Once we go to work in the children's department, I said, Lord, I can't handle it. And the Lord says, well, there's two things that you got to deal with. And I said, what's that? And he says, number one, your superiors at your job. I was working in a sign company. He says, you are a disgrace to the example of what you're to be as a believer to your superiors. He says, I want that straightened out. And number two, he says, I want you in the children's department. Now, this is 7 hours a day in the Holy Ghost in the backside of Point Defiance Park. And I knew, because the fellowship was so strong, I knew this was God telling me to do that. Do you know how disappointing that was? But you know what God was trying to do? He was trying to condition me for what he had ahead for me. You know, how are you going to run a church when you don't even know how to become a member of one? How are you going to pastor a church when you don't know the responsibility of the children of a church? And so I still didn't know he was going to call me to pastor. I still thought I was had to do these things to get free so I could go to evangelize. And so I said, okay, God, then what job, what department do you want me to sign up for? And God says, I thank you for asking me. The department they suffer in the most. I know what department that is. You sure do. Their nursery. I ended up in the nursery. And by gosh, if God didn't show me how to flow with the anointing in that nursery, he showed me. Then I was promoted to the fourth graders. And in the whole process of the whole time, I was constantly corrected every time I turned around. Why? Because I wanted to teach adults and didn't know how to communicate to kids. And right in the middle of one message, I almost turned around and rebuked him. Every time I turned around and tried to teach the four-year-olds in this one class, he said, wait a minute, don't use that word, use another one. Right in front of the kids. And I said, oh, okay. And so I gave him another, and the kids go, oh, yeah, I got it. So afterwards, the children went up to Mark and said, he was funny, but we didn't understand what he was saying. I went back and I was so mad. Mark says, you know, you're going to have to get to a place. That's what Mark told me. He says, you're going to have to get to a place where you know how to communicate to these kids. And I said, well, I'm going to have to get to a place. I'm out of here. That was my attitude. So I went home. I went and prayed. You know something? If you don't want the perfect will of God for your life, don't fellowship with God on a daily basis. Stay away from your prayer closet. So I went into my prayer closet. And God says, well, why don't you ask me what you need to do and repeat. Well, I remember now, Mark told me to repeat the same message, but approach it from a communicative level they could understand. He wanted the same message, and I didn't know how to do it. And finally, he put it in my heart how to do it. He said, they're very visionary, and I want you to, all these different words of praise, I want you to draw little cartoon characters and use an overhead projector and just have them do it with you. Hey, that's a cool idea. And so I went ahead and did up all these, and man, we had that whole class. And Mark come up to me afterwards and says, now you got it. Now you're communicating. Well, who do you think you are? I'm Pastor Butler. Still had an attitude. And you know what? I finally was, Casey saw steadiness in me. He finally promoted me into the adult Sunday school class teaching that he had going on there at that time. And that was a challenge in itself because I had to learn how to stay away from areas that Casey was not familiar with. I had to promote him as valuable in the eyes of the people. And so Casey would always, we'd have our, what we call our confidential chit-chat lunches, and where he'd ask me questions why I taught a certain thing, certain way, and I explained it to him. Oh, that's good. That's cool. You know. But then all of a sudden, I felt something good on the inside of me that I was doing the perfect will of God. And, of course, God put me through a real trial with my peers at work. He says, you're an example of a clod when it comes to being a Christian. I wish you wouldn't even tell them you're a believer until you change your attitude with them. Did you know your job is important, how you work your job right now? Did you know that your peers are important to the kingdom of God? Did you know? Because we seem to think this is a temporal thing. We can't hardly wait to get into ministry. But did you know, presently speaking, that your example is presently living in the lives of people? And God began to share with me how I had to win my boss's heart before I could get released from that job. I didn't want to do that no more than a man of the man. He was a 5'2", thinks he's 7-foot-tall boss, and I can't hardly stomach. And finally, God began to get in my heart and begin to speak to me on a daily basis of how I was to be the example for that particular leader. And one thing that I used to do is I used to go over there and turn off their ungodly music because I had a religious spirit about me. I went over there and I turned their music off. And I walked back over. And the head guy of the sheet metal department, who turned my radio off? And they go over there and they turn that thing on. And then they found out it's the Christian next door. And so I'd hear that music again, and I'd go over there and I'd shut it off again. And finally, make a long story short, I get into fights with my foreman. How? I decided to do warfare. They're going to play their music. I'm going to play my preaching tape. So we had this warfare going on. Bless God, I want to pour Christianity on them. And I'd turn Dave Roberson up, and they'd get to preaching real loud. And I'd turn that puppy up, and my phone would go by, and he'd say, shut that thing off. And I said, all right, go over and shut it off. So he'd come back by, and he'd say, hey, I want them to shut that ungodly music off over there. That's what I told my foreman. And he'd go, well, what's wrong with it? Well, what's wrong with my preaching tapes? What's wrong with my preaching tapes? Does it bother you? He says, I'm the boss. You keep them preaching tapes off, and they can listen to all the music they want. And so you know what happened one day? I was praying in my car because I sat there before work. I'd get out of my car, go in, and in that car, God said, it's about time that you be the example you're supposed to be with these leaders if you want to go into ministry. When you get in there, you don't turn your music on no more and you leave theirs alone. And you don't turn on your preaching tapes. You leave them where they belong. They're not praying. They're not paying you to listen to sermons for you to listen to all day long. They're paying you to do your job. And I says, well, they're listening to me. He says, listen, you can listen to music and work all day long. It's not the same. And I said, well, that's true. So I went in there and they had the music blaring away. This is this war day. I didn't do anything. I left alone, didn't say anything. Finally, Lloyd walks by and he goes, and he looks at the post where my tape recorder was, and it's not no tape on there and nothing blaring. And Lloyd looked at me like real funny. I could see him out of the corner of my eye. And I just kept working away. And finally, one day it was bothering him. He says, well, what happened to your tapes? And I says, you know what? I've been very disrespectful to you as my boss. And if you told me to turn them off, that's good enough for me. I'm going to keep them off to honor you and what you're doing. He looked at me like I could have hit him with a knife. So you know what he does? I accidentally walked in to put my time card, and he's talking to them about keeping their music down. And I said, it's okay, Lloyd. Don't worry about it. It's okay. They can play all the music they want. I says, I kind of like it anyway. He looked at me like, you're crazy. And so I quit bringing my cassette tapes and quit playing them in my ear and stuff. And because he was always on my case about the cassette recorder. And finally, one day in the office, I had made such friends with everybody, got rid of my religious spirit. And I started having a good cohabitation with them. That they asked me what salvation was all about. And I shared with you the story about how I preached to everybody in the office, believed God for it. But listen, when I made my heart right with every one of those workers, including my boss, God released me for ministry. Amen. When I was right with my church, God released me to ministry. You'll know. But I got news for you. If you think you're going into ministry without fellowship of the brethren, you're crazy. Because yep. It don't work. You're going to go on your own, and you will fail. Yep. I know ministers today are failing because they never learned that example. Now, in closing, I want to share something with you. There's a billboard right down the street here. And when I looked at that billboard, I said, my gosh, there is some wisdom to people. And on the billboard, it says this. It says, what made Gandhi, Gandhi? And do you know what they got right in the center of that in red and white? Soul. And I got to thinking, well, how unique. They told the truth. What made Gandhi, Gandhi was soul power. And did you know that Gandhi was an adamant rejecter of Christianity because he himself deeply meditated on it? And rejected it. How did I know this? Well, because I read it in the history of his life. And you know one thing that he said? He said, show me a true Christian and I'll become one. I thought, my, What a wise statement. Show me a true Christian and I'll become one. But the more I meditated on that statement, the more then the voice of the Lord came through and told me, that statement is a statement of pure idiocy. And I says, well, how could that statement be so crazy? We are responsible to be the example we're supposed to be that others might follow. He says, no, that's not where Gandhi was coming from. Gandhi was coming from this. What I am is greater. I'm going to share something real quick like. What gripes me more than anything else, not only in this church, but in churches I've attended, even the last church I became a valuable part of, is parents that will speak down on their church because the church is not doing something proper for the children, and their children are hearing this. They're teaching their children how to be as much to the rebellion of the house of God as they are.
Yep.
And you know, most of the families that do this, their family is not a family of victory and peace. Matter of fact, the children then begin to go out into the world the first chance of freedom that they can find. Mm-hmm. Why? Because these kind of parents have this thing in their thinking. If it wasn't for the church doing its right job, my children would not be what they are. And I got news for you. That is a lie sold to you from the devil. Your children are not interested really in what the church is doing. Your children are looking to get out of the responsibility of Christianity because of their age. They come from a completely different perspective than you as parents do. They look at things totally different. You seem to have forgotten where you've come from because you used to think a certain way. My gosh, if I still thought the way I used to, I wouldn't be a believer. And when my parents speak against the church, that gives my children the leverage they need not to want to go. You should be seeing to it that your children respect whatever church that they go to, because that is the example of what we call complete surrender to the administration of God's household, no matter what church you go to. And boy, when people do that, I just see, well, I'll tell you what. And I've had teens, my own daughter, I asked her one time, most freaky thing I ever did. I said, what do you think of me as a child of God or as a man of God? You know what she said to me? She said, I respect you as a man of God. I just don't like the movies you watch. You know, kid, you know, if your kids could sit down and tell you the truth about yourself, if we had what we call, what do they have at school? They have this thing called a parenting day, parenting awareness week, whatever it is. If we had one here, and what if we got your kids up here and told them, now I want you to make us all aware of your parenting in your household from church. I wonder what they would have to say. What would your children have to say? Would they say, well, you know, Mom and Dad, it's a church you made me go to. I talked with kids. I talked with couples that were literally raised in a hypocritical home. The parents would go to church and they'd be one way and be at something else again another way. Are you following me? And yet these are the same kind of parents that will speak against the church and want their kids to go to someplace else. And that's just teaching them, move on. Let's just move on. Move on. Get our kids to move on. They got to have the right program. They got to have the right situation. They got to have the right environment. There ain't no such thing as a perfect church. There ain't no such thing as a perfect children's department. What it boils down to is we got to have better examples in parenting. Yeah. We only get your kids 3 hours a week, if that. Yeah. If that. And you want us to do something? What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to make my kids turn out perfect. I don't have a kid perfect machine where I can take your kid and stuff it in one end and the kid pops out of there perfect. The only living machine that your kids got is you. That's all they got. Take a look at yourself. Now, I don't mean to preach condemnation on you, but I'll tell you what. If you're not a man or a woman dedicated to God, your kids will not be dedicated to God. It has nothing to do with the church. So tired of hearing that. And we're trying to do our best to get our kids educated and taught properly by volunteers in the church. You as a failing parent, the first thing I do is submit your flesh to the children's department to change your way of thinking. This message makes you mad. Good. It's a chastisement of the Lord. Adults, your world is completely different perspective than your children. Children, your children are presently making history. Adults, you have a history, whether it's good or bad. The child, he is presently living that history he's in, good or bad. The adult, his mind has already adopted much of his mindset. Where the child, his mind is presently being developed. Adults could possibly, not all parents, are not even aware of their children's mindset presently being in them in action. Did you know, have you ever thought about your kids' present mindset in action? Maybe it's not what you approve of. When parents even recognize their little personalities, we just accept them rather than sifting the negative from the good. Why? We don't see ourselves being repeated in them. 1 John 4:20 is very clear. If you haven't seen God, then how are you going to represent Him in the earth with somebody else? You see, you got to get to a place where you can see God clearly to represent Him as an example to others. And that's why a lot of parents that are in rebellion to the kingdom of God, their children suffer for it, is because they're not clearly submitting themselves to the ultimate parent that they own, that owns them, called Father God. How can you love someone you don't see versus someone you can? There's a blindness there. Now, I'm going to share something with you. There's something a child sees that we also possess. Your children sees in you that we also possess. The child, he can see what has presently taken place in his history or life. Listen, the adults, you also can see what has presently taken place in your children's life, history. See, both of you have this viewpoint. Both of you can see this. Now follow me. Here's the problem. The adults, they see the child's history presently being formed in them. And the child, I want you to get a hold of this, the child, he's seeing presently the history that has formed in you, the adult. Oh, but the best way out of this thing, blame somebody else for the problem. I'll tell you, I've had some disappointing experiences with my daughter, Lindsay. But I'll tell you what, I'll never be the man that will never get on my knees and ask my daughter to forgive me for a wrong. I want my daughter to respect me as a man of God. And I'm going to tell you something. This little mouth of yours as parents, what comes out of it? Is it cursing or is it a blessing? So a lot of kids that I've talked to, even in this church, said, my parents use foul language. That shouldn't even be on your lips in a home. I think a man of God who has foul language, that's the first thing that needs to be cleaned up. Because the Bible's very clear that in a man's life, if he learns to control his tongue, he's got his whole nature in control. Why? He's receiving the wisdom that comes down from above. Did you know over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says the husband or the father over a family, are you ready for this? Says that he rhemes the word of God or the kingdom of God to his family. Speaks it. Did you guys get something here today? Yeah, I want out of here. I know you want out of here because you've been chastened by the Lord this morning. God wants you as parents to straighten up. and start being the example to your children no matter where they're at right now. You straighten up and be committed to God. You get into your prayer closet. You get on your knees and you begin to straighten yourself up. He says He's given us this dispensation of the Spirit of what? It doesn't mean that all your kids are going to turn out perfect. My gosh, look at my kids. They're not perfect. Well, Sue says, yes, they are. Sometimes my kids do things that I cringe. But I have a peace within myself. I didn't teach them that idiocy stuff. I do have a peace in that. Don't you, Sue? We can go to bed at night and at least know I didn't teach him that thing. Some parents can't even see what they teach their kids. I don't know what's wrong with that kid. I can't stomach him. And the child's a spitting image of you. No wonder you can't come to yourself. You'd get scared to death. Boy, you know, that's why fellowship with God is so scary. He always takes you to the mirror that reflects back what you need to change. I hate that. It's called purging. I hate that. First time I was taken to the purging post, he was dragging me, and I looked into that mirror, and I went, ah! And he was only covering one area. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is to know about yourself. Everybody stand up. You know what we're going to do today? I know the anointing was on me. I felt it flowing through me very strongly. And I tell you what, I'm going to join you today because I'm not a perfect parent, in case you didn't know that. But you know, this whole 2 weeks, about 2 weeks, preparing for this service, I was going to God for a word, and this morning He wakes me up at 2:30 in the morning, and He starts purging me. And in purging me, He's putting together a message. And the message was what I shared with you. What did you say, Sue? You little cutie, you. You little ornery little. Love her. That I had to do some real soul searching this morning. It was kind of like Gandhi, you know. This is a soul man this morning. You let the Holy Ghost get in and speak into your heart. And you know something? If you feel that your kids are going really crazy astray, just think maybe how much you helped to do that. Well, then God is in for you repenting and getting on course with Him so that your children have a chance to recover from what they've chosen to move away from that's godly. Are you following what I'm saying? Because God uses you as an example. And children will see change in you as parents. They will see that. And that will give you the greatest leverage. Most parents that do not want to take this kind of advice is because they're so self-centered over their own life, they ain't got time to reach out and give of themselves for their children. So if you want to this morning, I'm not going to give an altar call on this. This morning, if you want to, as parents, adults, if you're a single person, you are an example to children. Hallelujah. We need to stop fighting each other and start fighting against our worthy opponent, which is Satan. He is a worthy opponent because he has a wisdom about you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. And he can penetrate you if you don't know your weaknesses. Some of you don't even know your strengths. So let's confess this together. This is one I think we could all confess. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to be an example. If I want to be an example, I'll change in the areas that are obviously ungodly for the sake of my children. Father, strengthen me. Change doesn't come easy. Especially if my flesh don't want to be a part of it. But I receive correction, and I'm willing to move forward as an example to the kingdom of God. I will change and fellowship with you on a consistent basis. When I learn to love you, I will love my neighbor. My children are my neighbors. I will example them into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys received that here this morning? Well, with that, I'm going to let you go. We'll see you tonight.